Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. For A New Liberty, the Libertarian Manifesto is Murray N. Rothbard's landmark case for a thoroughly libertarian social order built on individual rights, private property, and voluntary exchange. Archeries, written for a broad audience, it presents libertarianism not as a narrow economic policy preference, but as a complete political philosophy with clear positions on law, the state, markets, war, and civil liberties. Rothbard connects moral principles to practical institutional proposals, arguing that many functions commonly assigned to government can be supplied more peacefully and efficiently through free cooperation. The book is often credited with shaping modern American libertarian thought by offering a systematic framework, memorable arguments, and concrete applications to everyday political controversies. It also serves as an accessible gateway into Rothbard's wider work in economics and political theory. Readers encounter a provocative rethinking of familiar assumptions about public goods, regulation, taxation, and the legitimacy of state power itself. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-ownership and the non-aggression principle as a moral foundation. A central theme of the book is that libertarian politics begins with a simple moral claim. Each person owns their own life and therefore has the right to control their body, labor, and peaceful choices. From this starting point, Rothbard frames the non-aggression principle as the boundary line of legitimate action, meaning that initiating force, theft, or fraud against others is wrong, while defensive force against aggression is justified. He uses this framework to evaluate laws and institutions. Policies are not primarily judged by intentions or claimed benefits, but by whether they violate rights. This approach shifts debates from utilitarian trade-offs toward questions of consent and coercion. It also underpins libertarian positions on speech, association, privacy, and personal behavior, where the default is freedom unless a person is harming others through force or deception. Rothbard further links self-ownership to property rights, arguing that control over one's labor implies the ability to acquire and exchange property peacefully. The result is a comprehensive ethical lens that treats individuals as ends in themselves, challenges paternalistic regulation, and portrays many common government actions as incompatible with a rights-based order. Secondly, property, markets, and voluntary exchange as social coordination. Rothbard emphasizes that private property and free markets are not merely efficient mechanisms, but extensions of individual liberty. He argues that when people can own, trade, and contract freely, they generate a decentralized system of cooperation that coordinates knowledge, scarcity, and diverse preferences without centralized command. Prices, profit and loss, and entrepreneurial discovery are presented as practical tools that guide resources toward what others value, while competition limits abuses and rewards better service. He contrasts this with political allocation, where decisions are made through coercive taxation and one-size rules, and where incentives often reward lobbying rather than productive activity. The book applies these points across familiar economic issues, such as regulation, subsidies, welfare programs, and monetary policy, contending that interventions distort signals and produce unintended consequences that then justify further intervention. Rothbard also highlights how markets foster pluralism. Different communities can support different norms through voluntary institutions, instead of imposing a single moral code through law. In this telling, the free market is not just commerce but a framework for peaceful coexistence, allowing cooperation among strangers and enabling civil society to solve problems through experimentation rather than bureaucratic decree. Thirdly, the state, taxation, and the critique of political authority. A defining element of the manifesto is its radical skepticism toward the state as an institution that claims a monopoly on ultimate decision-making within a territory. Rothbard argues that the state is distinguished not by noble goals, but by its reliance on coercion, especially taxation, which he treats as compulsory transfer rather than a voluntary fee. From this viewpoint, the moral question is not whether programs are beneficial, but whether they can be justified when funded and enforced through force. He challenges the idea that democratic procedures automatically legitimize coercion, contending that voting does not transform rights violations into rights-respecting acts. The book examines how state power tends to expand through emergencies, war, and bureaucratic incentives, and how concentrated authority can be captured by special interests. Rothbard also stresses that the language of public interest can mask redistributive coalitions and moralizing campaigns. His critique pushes readers to separate society from the state, highlighting the role of families, charities, mutual aid groups, businesses, and community organizations that function without coercive authority. Even readers who do not accept his strongest conclusions are likely to find a rigorous audit of the assumptions behind taxation, regulation, and political legitimacy. Fourthly, law, police, and courts in a libertarian order. Rothbard addresses a common challenge to libertarianism: if government is minimized or abolished, how are law and security provided? He outlines a vision in which law is grounded in property rights, contract, and the prohibition of aggression, and where protection services could be supplied competitively. In this model, individuals and businesses purchase security, insurance, arbitration, and dispute resolution from providers, creating incentives for efficiency and restraint. Rothbard argues that monopoly policing and courts can produce unaccountable abuses, while competition and liability can encourage better behavior and responsiveness to consumers. He also emphasizes restitution to victims rather than punishment for its own sake, framing justice as making harmed parties whole where possible. The book explores how legal rules could evolve through customary practice and arbitration, rather than top-down legislation, and how decentralization could allow different communities to choose different institutional arrangements. Critics often worry about fragmentation or conflict among providers, and Rothbard engages these concerns by arguing that market pressures and the desire to avoid costly violence would favor negotiated standards and peaceful dispute resolution. Whether one views private law as feasible or not, the discussion clarifies how libertarian principles extend beyond economics into concrete institutional design. Lastly, foreign policy, war, and the case for non-intervention. Another major topic is the libertarian stance on war and international relations. Rothbard argues that war is among the greatest threats to liberty because it centralizes power, expands surveillance, increases taxation, and normalizes emergency rule. He links militarism abroad to repression at home, suggesting that foreign interventions often create blowback, expand bureaucracies, and entrench alliances between government and favored industries. The book advocates a foreign policy of non-intervention, emphasizing peace, trade, and diplomacy rather than regime change or global policing. Rothbard distinguishes defense of one's territory from interventionist strategies that entangle a country in distant conflicts and require permanent military expansion. He also highlights how conscription, censorship, and propaganda historically accompany wartime politics, making war a catalyst for the erosion of civil liberties. In discussing borders and migration, he frames questions around property rights and consent rather than nationalist claims, urging readers to think in terms of individuals rather than collective blocks. The overall argument is that a society committed to individual rights should be skeptical of any policy that relies on mass violence and centralized command, and should treat peaceful exchange as the default relationship among peoples. In conclusion, this book best serves readers who want a clear, comprehensive statement of libertarian first principles and the policy positions that follow from them. It is especially valuable for people frustrated by conventional left-right debates, students exploring political philosophy, and anyone curious about how a consistent rights-based framework would address economics, civil liberties, policing, and war. The benefit is less about memorizing talking points and more about gaining a structured way to evaluate institutions: who is using force, who is consenting, and what alternatives could voluntary cooperation provide. That mindset can sharpen civic judgment, encourage skepticism toward political marketing, and help readers see how incentives and power shape outcomes. Compared with many similar books that focus only on free market economics or only on culture war issues, Rothbard's manifesto aims to connect ethics, political theory, and real-world applications in one coherent package. It also stands out for its breadth and boldness, offering not merely reform proposals but a fundamental critique of state authority and a vision of decentralized, voluntary solutions. Even readers who disagree will likely find it clarifies what libertarianism claims and where its strongest tensions and implications lie. If you would like to support Murray N. Rothbard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.